Welcome, folks. This is the End Evil podcast. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about what happened this last weekend. It's still big in my heart and big in my mind. Still feeling the buzz, and I want to keep the ball rolling. This world needs freedom. This world needs to understand natural law. It's chaos out there. People are doing all kinds of madness to one another in different forms of stealing. And this weekend I had the incredible opportunity to spend multiple days with amazing people, amazing, dedicated, committed people who've been working towards truth and freedom all in their own way. And some of them are here with us tonight. And I got some really awesome folks here joining me. And I'm gonna go ahead and start bringing those folks in so I can hear their reflections from the fantastic weekend that we just had. So without more ado, quick advertisement. If you haven't yet, go to endevil.life and get the book that changed my life. This is something I've worked very hard on, and I've created it so you could change your life. And if you go to endevil.life and click on the store tab, you'll find the link to get this book. Or you could get The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. That's the book that inspired this podcast. And check out What on Earth is Happening. That's the show that inspired all of us. And it did change my life. And I got to tell that to Mark in person this weekend, and that was a big deal for me. I really appreciated that. So with no more ado, I'm going to start bringing in some other folks here that came to join me tonight. And thanks for coming, folks. It's good to see y'all. Let's see who all we got here. We got Devin from Apophysis and Rocky. We got Conrad Rogas. We got Jerry and John. And we got producer Mike up in the house. Welcome, folks. What's up, guys? Thanks for joining me. Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah, where do we start? Well, let me start by, I want to throw a big shout out to Jerry and John. You guys were just amazing organizing and bringing this thing together. The whole time I was there just watching you guys work and run around trying to keep the three-ring circus going. But, you know, it all went so smooth and amazing. People that were watching probably had no idea just how much work was going into it. There was Mike behind the scenes, always on the computers, making all that stuff happen like he's been doing for years for Mark behind the scenes. And it was very impressive to me. So I'll hand it off to Jerry first so you could tell us a little bit about your reflections, and I'll see if I can find a better screen set up here.
Yeah, well, I just feel honored to be working, you know, amongst all of you. I'm honored. And you know, John and I wouldn't have been able to do this without all of you. And I'm including not only, you know, Mike, who, as you mentioned, was a fucking rock star all weekend.
Wizard,
yeah. Doing all the live streaming technically.
You're too kind. I've had a lot of practice, so it helps. But not
we didn't drop a
it would
frame,
be us in the
right?
same way.
Yeah,
we pulled up, honestly, just very quickly. One of the funniest things to me is it was like 15 minutes before we went live that we were like, let's see what happens if we like green screen Derek like next to Jerry. And then we ended up just like sticking with that for like the entire 15-hour stream on Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And it was like, honestly, it looked pretty good most of the time. It was pretty funny to me. It's like people didn't realize this dude's in France next to someone who's in like Pennsylvania, and like that. The fact that it looked good and even made sense timing-wise was just so funny to me, and is still, like, it's just great. And I'm just, I don't think anybody realizes how silly that was. Some people might even think they were in the same studio, which, unless they saw the part where I started squealing around. But it's like the little things like that. Yeah, it's like those little things like that, and I can get into the technical reasons of that, but it was stupid. But yeah, it was like, it's like the little things like that that I got a lot of joy out of. But otherwise, I don't know. All my work is pointless if there wasn't something worth showing. And Jerry, you made sure there was something worth showing. So, and everybody else, obviously.
I was sitting there next to you guys like,
are they really going to go live? I'm seeing Jerry getting ready. I'm seeing you do everything. I'm like, wait a minute. Nothing is ready. Are you really about to go live? And you did. It was awesome.
That was the time to go live. You go live when you go live. I mean, it wasn't in Mark's case. We literally watched the seconds countdown until it's like 3:00 start. Like, and if we like F up by a second, I'm pissed off. It's like, yeah. So this is marginally a little more relaxed, but otherwise all good.
In a Richard Groves autonomy, they have a saying, do it live, right, Jerry? So that's awesome, man.
It's the old Bill O'Reilly bit. Yeah, exactly, man.
Yep.
Well, it's fixing things in post is like the most expensive thing time-wise that you could possibly do. So just get it right the first time. It's a lot easier. Yeah, and you have some warts. Oh, no, you're human. I didn't mean to totally interrupt your intro that you were doing, Chris and Derek.
No, it's all good. I'm curious. I'm a little curious to hear from John, man. I was so good to meet you in person, all of you in person, but, you know, it's just amazing how hard you were working and what you pulled together and the energy you brought. You got anything you want to say, John?
I just love how we were able to meld the online and in live person effects of everything. Like just the relationships, the collaborations, the coordinations, like, and the timing, like the chat, the Telegram chat that we have for the organizers and the artists and Soundpath has been absolutely amazing over the past several months. I mean, we went into this thing with like, you know, a shoestring and a popsicle stick and a piece of bubblegum, man. And the good intentions of many people. And I just, like I said, you know, like to be able to walk away from something like that, knowing that everyone was a volunteer, everyone was interested in seeing the message get out. Everyone stood up and did their part when it was required of them. And, you know, like that's just totally amazing. And it really empowers my heart to continue on and do what I do, you know, in the world itself. You know, guys, I'm really grateful for all of you.
Yeah, me too. And looks like we got Nathan Webb here and Jerry Tappan and Jen. Thanks for joining us, guys. I think what I'll go to next is Devin and Rocky. They were the first musicians up and also the last, strangely enough.
Georgia. So, yeah, Devin and Georgia.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, my bad.
Rocky's a cool name.
Rocky, yeah.
I say Rocky Fizz.
I don't know how I got that in my head. Georgia. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I've had a lot going on. But, yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we got to open the whole festival, which is an honor. And it was we were happy to play for all of you and it was a big honor that Mark was there to listen, and we had printed out our lyrics and people read them. That meant a lot too. And yeah, it was just really fun to play, and then we got to play again. Which was,
yeah, hopefully it wasn't too much pressure, and hopefully the recording quality is better. I can't even tell. I don't even know. Hopefully you did. Okay.
I'm sure. It was, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great, great time just to meet you all. And, yeah, very, very, very big honor to be a part of it. Like, and, just so fun to hang and cross pollinate. As I think you used that word, Derek. I think that's a good way to put it. Like just to really to share our works with each other, and also have conversations with one another, and build, you know, and just become friends. Really, I had met Conrad in person and John in person, but that was. Oh, and I saw Mike at the Two Masks, Same Face, but it was just really this was an opportunity to get to know the people in the community much better, and meet some people I've been wanting to meet for a while, and yeah, I I just had an amazing time. I think I mentioned in the chat that when it was over, it was like, it felt like a dream. Like it was, cause you're back to, whatever else. And those were like magical couple days for us. And I'm just so excited to be closer to everyone on this chat and on others who aren't here now. Just like it's, your friendships mean a lot to me, you know? So, it's a beautiful thing. It's a big,
hey.
Beautiful
thing.
Yeah.
I know it's not my turn, guys, but.
No, go ahead. Jump in, Conrad. Anybody.
As the new number one Apophysis fan in the world, except for maybe Brendan Daniel, I have to say to everybody watching, I don't think you understand how hard that music bangs in person. See, we tried our best on the stream and you got two videos out. It's the best. But I don't think you guys understand, man. It is really something else.
It is that exact same thought. It's that same thought that I was like, I have to capture him again. I have to try to capture it better because it's so hard to capture your music. But in person, it's fantastic. Yeah. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one moment I was sitting on one of the bench stools right there. And all of a sudden, George, I'm so sorry I got your name wrong. I just met these new neighbors and we've got so much going on and her name's Rocky.
She's Rocky.
But like all of a sudden it just hit me, you know, the way you were playing your music and it was just so strong. I just had to get up and start jumping around, you know, and I started doing like almost like a mosh pit thing. And then Cat Waters started moshing. It was so cool, man.
Yeah.
I felt the energy all through me. And like you were saying, Devin, like, you know, we've all seen each other, a lot of us, you know, but in person, it was like this strong sense of camaraderie, like, and, you know, Jerry said, oh, you know, it's like family. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I mean, like, I could care less about seeing, like, these rich and famous people that are on TV. Like, you guys are my stars, man. These are the people I wanted to see in person. And I was, like, starstruck the whole time, you know. But who else wants to pop in and say something about the event? Nathan, how about you? I had a great time chatting with you, my man.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Likewise, I was looking forward to meeting you for a long time, actually. You and Leslie, I really kind of gravitated towards you and her, especially after discovering Mark's work. So yeah, you two were kind of the first two other content creators I kind of checked out from the One Great Work Network. So yeah, it was cool to finally meet you. And I didn't get to talk with Leslie as much as I wanted to, but I know I will eventually. But yeah, it was awesome to kick it with you guys. It's cool to see Leslie dancing the entire night, like 8 hours straight.
Sure.
That was awesome. I thought the event was phenomenal. I mean, just like, I don't know how it could have been better. It was just so, every artist was super hard hitting and impactful and so talented. And yeah, it just, yeah, I had a great time. I think everyone there had an amazing time. And this is clearly something to build on. And this could go in some pretty amazing directions for sure. Like, you know, festivals like this all over, you know, the US and, you know, other places too, you know, Europe, Canada, wherever. But I think we proved the concept that it's very, that it's, you know, very, very worthwhile. So yeah, I guess I'll cap it off there. But thanks for having us, Chris, on your show tonight. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Much love. I'm glad to be able to do this. Yeah, it's actually been hard in a way to come back to normal life because, like you said, it was sort of like a surreal dream, a dream come true in a lot of ways. But it's really hopefully just the beginning of much more awesome things to come. So, you know, I've met Derek Bartolacelli in person multiple times. He's come up to visit us. He stayed with us and, you know, we've gone bowling and we've gone to the lake and, you know, but I kept thinking, man, it must've been hard to be out there in France and knowing we were all together, but you were there with us, you know, floating around in your little screen, Mike bringing you in. So what kind of reflections do you want to share tonight, Derek?
Yeah, brother. And yeah, to that note of just seeing people in person, especially if you've been in communication with them online, and wow, finally you get to see them in real life. It's like, wow, like you just feel the energy. You get to see them in their, you know, eye to eye, like for real. It's like not in a bad way, but it's just it builds up the camaraderie to whatever degree, whatever people make it in the moment, right? And that's great that you guys made such a magical moment with the music and whatever in between and everything. And yeah, as I mentioned in the last live stream, yeah, I was living vicariously, and yeah, it was just a well executed overall. Mike, thanks for plugging me in properly and everything. It was fun floating around a little bit there, and yeah.
why waste all that screen real estate if like we have to separate us both, you know what I mean, as opposed to like just put you in the frame, it's all good. But no, you killed it, man. That was like, honestly, you and Jerry, I mean, whatever, we've all given Jerry enough accolades, but she deserves all of them. That said, you have probably not gotten enough, and you kicked ass. You survived at like insane hours for you. Like, let's be real, you're in France, and like, okay, 6 a.m. for us, and which is also, let's not do that next time, besides the point. It's 6 a.m. for us is way early, but for you, that's reasonable. But like going to 11 our time, I mean, that's, yeah, that's a late freaking night, especially if you just did that the night before. I don't know if you can hear the train behind me, but it's loud. Anyway,
it's your train of thought.
Yeah, right. There we go. I'm just fucking leaving the station. Because I don't remember what I was going to get to.
Hey, what about Joel, man? I want to send a props out to Joel. Oh, he's Joel, not here,
oh,
but
for real.
It was really cool to meet Joel. He was awesome. His help, right?
Having someone with an eye, and if you're out there watching this and you've got like that eye where you can take a camera and point it at like a random thing, and then like, and it looks good, like always, and other people, even if you don't feel that way, but other people tell you that, get in contact, because we want like more of those people, because Joel is that person that saved us, because I don't have that vision. But there's one moment where that sticks in my brain while we're watching, and we're looking at the two cameras in the live day on day three. And I had the exact same thought, but I didn't like vocalize it as well. And then he's like, that looks like unplugged. That looks like public access. And I was like, yes. It's like, F that camera. We're sticking on this one for a while. You run over there, figure that one out. And it's like, that's correct. Like, it's just when you see it, you know what I mean? It's the old, was it a Congress or Senate? It's like, what is porn? It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but I can see it. I know what when I see it kind of thing. It's like, yeah, that one looks good. That just is. Whatever it is, it'll come back to me a little bit. Derek, you really like helped a lot. Thank you so much. And it's awesome. Very quickly, Jerry, I don't know if we actually met in person, maybe very briefly. I was like so frantic the whole weekend. Forgive me if I was not. And Jen, I think we met also very briefly. No, we have not met. Okay, neither. Okay, anyway, well, pleasure to meet you. I'm Mike. I did the live production part. It's been fun. So I'm not quite, I can't wait till we get down to that end of the spectrum down here to get more intel on your contributions. I'm sure it's bigger than I realized. We're pretty much everybody here.
Sorry. Yeah, I opened this one up too to people that that watched too, attendees. I thought this would be cool to hear reflections from people who were you know, on both ends of the spectrum here and spectrum. on both ends of the watching, the viewing, and the attendees. And sounds like Leslie might join us. That's pretty cool. And I also wanted to throw a big thanks out to Mark Passio for, he donated the cameras to, well, donated. He let them use that, all that amazing equipment. That was really sweet of him to do. And that made that all happen too. But yeah, Jen, you want to tell us a little bit about your experience? You were watching the sound path, I presume. Oh, your mic's not on. Oh, because I muted you.
Well, yeah, which is good. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're coming in now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I've never used this app, and so I'm like sweat. I feel a little nervous. I don't know why, but I didn't know what I was. But thank you for having me. Yeah, I did nothing. I learned about it right before it happened, and I was available, and it kind of distracted me from other, you know, projects, but I was really intrigued by the whole thing. And so thank you. Yeah, I was saying I don't listen to a lot of music anymore because I don't want, you know, I'm trying to think for myself or try to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing here. And I'm, you know, you just learn about all the music that you grow.
It's hard to find new music.
Yeah, it's
And also, we all just listen to the same stuff that we liked when we were 15, pretty much for the rest of our life, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort to find something that's more aligned. And so a lot of the time, I moved, if you look in my fake background, I live right near there. So I live in, I moved from California to Northwest Arkansas, really in the Ozarks, on 11 acres. So I listen to the birds and stuff. But anyway, I'm probably taking way too long. It was really such a treat to have this curated group of artists, most of which I wasn't familiar with at all, to, you know, and to know that they were you know, I know you guys wanted more people, but for me, I knew that it was pure because whenever there's a lot of people, I'm very suspicious and I usually don't. It's unfortunate, but it's if something's really popular, I usually am kind of hesitant. So this felt very organic and pure. And so I feel honored to have been able to be there for your first one. And I hope that you do get really popular and hopefully it won't get too co-opted or weaponized or something like that.
But one in 300. That's the number you gotta watch out for. One in 300. That's the average base rates of number of percentage of Americans that has a top secret or higher clearance, which means they can spy on all the rest of our shit. So once a group hits 300, you should probably keep an eye out.
I mean, there's always, but it's it was just so nice to listen to music that was I could tell it was from you and not someone else, some corporation that made it into what they wanted and that it was pure. And I really liked a lot of it too. I genuinely.
So many, even if I wasn't into the music style, were really impressive. So many of them, I wasn't necessarily into the style, but clearly were very good quality. And it's that is awesome. And that I kind of didn't expect that. I mean, forgive me for kind of having maybe just kind of with the ragtag nature of getting up to the hitting record. I didn't really know what we were watching. I knew literally none of the artists, and so many of. I think everybody basically was impressed me. It's really wild that that's even possible. So
well, the other thing that
you off there.
No, the other thing that really, you know, that you're saying that I think is exciting is that, you know, when we talk about volunteerism or anarchy, the average public people say, oh, that's impossible. You know, what would we do without government? Right. And I like to find ways to prove that we can self-organize, we can make things happen. And this is another brilliant example, the funnel conferences, the seed conferences, and now SoundPath, and even this meeting. Look at, people can self-organize, and we can get some really awesome stuff done. And all the naysayers, what are you gonna say to that? You know, it is work. And so I really appreciate what you're saying, Jen, about organic and seeing things come together. Because if you would have seen it in person, you know, Jerry and John were doing everything they possibly could to pull this thing together, but it was way bigger than what they could do. But people like Mike and Joel and Derek and Nathan were jumping in and just doing jobs, you know. Leslie, you know, ran to the store and got food for the musicians, you know,
I have to interrupt because you and Leslie jumped in immediately.
Words out of their mouth. What can we do to help?
And we're like, yeah, we need to do runs for food and drinks and stuff. And you guys just jumped in. So thank you.
Sure thing.
Yeah, that was important for me to be able to just jump in and be a part of the work. You know, I wanted to, you know, add some ease into your process. And you guys were, you know, we're working so hard and pretty, it's tense, you know, there's a tension there with timing and technology and, you know, all this shit. Right. And, you know, yeah, keeping it going. And so the energy is super high. And then there's people to pick up, you know, and transport and food or beverage or, you know, there's different things that come up. Oh, and John, his computer died. And so, you know, Conrad had to help him get his, like, hard drive out of his computer, right? And then, yeah, you know, what's that?
It was like 2 hours to get.
Yeah, there was a lot of little moments like that, you know, that we kind of tag teamed or worked with each other. And I think just being available, you know, it all felt very harmonious. And it felt, especially the live day, just felt like it flowed. And I know there's always little things here and there, but it was great. It was a wonderful event. And I'm so impressed with you guys and so excited and inspired about it, from it.
Well, talk about behind the scenes. We got my man Jerry Tappan here, and he's been my my helper behind the scenes on the End Evil podcast. He does all the uploads every week just out of his heart. And he's been helping me for a long time now, and I really appreciate that, Jerry. And he's also just recently been accepted to come on the One Great Work Network with so many of these other heroes. So congratulations, Jerry. I'd like to hear anything you wanted to share about SoundPath.
Thanks for the introduction, Chris. That was very lovely of you. Yeah, I don't know exactly when I started uploading the End Evil episodes to your website, but we got to mark that date so we can kind of keep track. Anyways, in regards to the SoundPath, I thought it was a great event, and I actually started listening to it again, the parts that I missed. And I think Tatiana Monroe, is that her last name?
McGrath? No.
Moroz,
okay.
M-O-R-O-Z, yes, thank you.
Yes, amazing artist. I did not hear her perform. I mean, I heard the first song, but after that, I had to do something. Amazing artist, man. I mean, it's so catchy. What did she say? She said, use Bitcoin whenever you pay, something like that. I was like, oh, yes. I was singing that throughout the day. And
now her and Brendan were like so cool to watch.
when her string broke and she called up Brendan, and then together, that was fantastic. That was one of the highlights, them in harmony, kind of just figuring.
They met like that day. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, that to me, I'm so impressed with musicians who can do that.
And Leslie, you are the one who pointed out to me, like, hey, we should get it. You should get his harmonica. And I'm like, where is it? In the green room. It's, you knew everything. So I run to the green room, get them a harmonica. I like do it like a roll. I crawl to the front of the stage. And Leslie, that's like one of the things that we don't remember. But like you saw that with your awareness right there. And then like 2 seconds later, the guy's already got the harmonica on his neck playing it. So clearly that's a good catch. And there you go. Like everybody was part of it, noticing things. There are so many times where somebody had to check something, especially that day three. Everybody there was needed, and it could have gone real bad if people weren't there.
And it was the right people. And just real quick on that same note, like if you go back through the live stream, it's the moments where Tatiana and Brendan like look at each other that I fucking love. I think probably my favorite the entire. Like, because you could just see them trying to figure it out, like live while there's people watching and they're trying, like, and I'm trying to record, like, there's all of the factors that combined. And then, like, when whatever they're clearly trying to work out in their brains, like, happened, like, and then you see that sense of relief on their faces. Like, I don't know, it just, like, hit me good, like, even just while producing it, that I really loved. Jen, you might be muted, or somebody might be muted. Sorry.
Oh, I just saw it says someone wants to come in the room, and I want, so I'm happy to get out, but I just need to figure out how because I've never been in here. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're great.
It's so weird to be awkward or whatever. But anyway, no, it was totally a great festival. Thank you. I see the leave. I'm going to leave so someone can come in.
Bye, I'm so Jen. Glad you came on, Dan, and joined us. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's awesome.
Thank you for watching. Fantastic. And probably sharing. Yeah,
and this isn't Zoom. It's something different. It's probably better. I want to find out about that, your technology. All right, take care. Bye.
Stream.
All right. Bye, Jen. Doing? Thank Bye. You. Thank you, Jen.
Zoom does make it easier to record.
I love seeing people like that join in stuff. It's great. And I love hearing, Chris, what you had to say, as well as Leslie, because you guys have been working on the Funnel Conference for quite some time, and to hear the compliments and your observations and everything from what you guys experienced is just, it's humbling to hear, man. It's heartwarming and just, yeah, it's like energizing. Just some of the aspects of this festival is that it kind of like recharges the battery packs, even though it kind of like sprint to the finish, kind of burnt out from the festival. But at the same time, it's like, bam, like still like hitting the ground running with, you know, more ideas and, you know, motivation and things like that. But with Freedom Under Natural Law and what you guys have done, what we did last February is just phenomenal as well. And to hear you guys, appreciate this festival to the degree that you have, like, wow.
And Derek, Freedom Under Natural Law is also you. And now I get the chance to say this. I think you were the unsung hero of the whole thing, because something about being there together made it way easier. Like, I wasn't running on a lot of sleep, not a lot of food, but I had energy the whole time. I think it was easy. It made it easy. And there were other people who were very competent. They were doing these things. So it's not like you were going to fall back. You held it down from all the way out there with nobody really there. But you did. You were there the whole time with us. So I don't know if I told you this here, but I got to give you like a real salute to you. Because that was awesome.
And Conrad, yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks, Derek. And Conrad, man, I loved hanging out with you, bro. I know we got a lot of future. Me and Conrad have been having some chats since, and it's just his music.
We're doing a song together. He doesn't want to tell you guys. We're doing a song.
We're working on a track. Awesome. Yeah. The Sound Path has me inspired to get back on working some music. It's been years since I've done anything, and so I'm feeling really fired up and inspired. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with folks. And I was super impressed, Conrad, with your performance, first time on the stage. And it looked like you'd done that 1,000 times. You were so comfortable up there and just spitting those lyrics like nobody's business. And that was very impressive. But we also got Woody Martin joining us. Woody is an old friend. I'm glad to have you here, Woody. Woody said he was at the whole conference watching, and what are your reflections, man? What do you got to say?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I'm a avid music lover. I always have been. And honestly, I do dabble myself in some music. And I was a little late to get in on this year's event, but I'm looking forward to next year. But as far as the performers, and I do want to, since we're just talking about Conrad, I want to give him a shout out. He did an amazing job. When he said, this is the first time I've ever like performed in front of a crowd, I was just like, what? No way. It looks like you've been doing this for years, you know? So, for him to like,
all
just
the freestylers,
out,
they were all, it was all their first yeah. times, which blew my mind.
But for people that aren't necessarily musicians to just get up there and step out of their comfort zone to do that is just amazing. And it's so inspiring to see people do stuff like that. So, it was great.
I just have to add about Conrad that his lyrics are there, you know, is nonstop. Like it's poetry. He's a poet rapping unendingly with this complex, very complex ideas. And to me, it impressed me so much that you didn't have notes, that you had this memorized. I couldn't pick up a single mistake. I mean, maybe except you covered it very well, like, and it, you know, I was so impressed. And I thought that the new stuff you've done is like really good. It's great.
Yeah. A lot of the thing I've done, I've never really shared a lot of the music that I've made myself, but I do a lot of actually playing of music. I actually mostly use music for shadow work, and it's a great way to, you know, if you got some angst in you or something like that, it's a great way to like just get that out of your system. And I have like a little synthesizer keyboard, and I play guitar, and I dabble in a bunch of different instruments, and it's just such a powerful tool, not only for, you know, sending people different messages within this reality, but also for working on yourself and any shadow work that you need to take care of. It's a great tool for that. So
I want to go right back off of that, because the thing that made me the most nervous the whole time I was there the whole weekend was when freaking Mike made me sing at the table after day three. And I haven't stopped singing, Mike. I'm going to, like, there you go. For me, SoundPad hasn't ended. You know, I'm going to keep working, getting out of my comfort zone. I agree. It is shadow work. The, you know, in a way, the performance was kind of easy because I'm surrounded by you guys. So, like, when you're around people that love you, you're not really going to fail. So, like, it would just be a waste of everybody's time for me to, like, go there and go into a shell. But singing is a little bit harder. So, you know. There's my next mountain to climb. Thanks, Mike.
I almost brought that up earlier. We were playing Hit the Note at the end on Sunday, where we just had some music playing, and everybody at the table just try to hit the note that they're singing, which is a lot of fun, actually, if you get the chance to do it. Just do it.
I hope we can play that at some point, Conrad, on one of these videos. There was this cool moment in the backyard, and we're sitting back there with Brendan Daniel and Lisa, and they were strumming on the guitars, and then Conrad's like,
a picture of that from upstairs in the bathroom. I will send it to Derek. Nice. If you can show it.
Yeah, Conrad recorded it, and then Conrad's like, keep playing, Brendan. And then he started freestyling, just throwing all these words out just off the top that he came up with right in the moment, and I added a few words at the end. It was just beautiful, and there were so many moments like that. But you know, I was also thinking I want to try to get Joe Murray on a future episode, because man, like, meeting Joe Murray in person for me was like meeting a hero of mine, you know, and I couldn't even believe it when I saw him, like, Joe Murray, you know, and then we're just chatting, like, we hit it off. And then I remember, like, right before his set, like, he goes, I'm nervous. I'm like, what? You're nervous? He's like, yeah, I'm nervous, man. But then he went up and rocked it, like, he'd done it a million times before. But then he said, yeah, this was his first time performing live like that, too. And so, you guys, Jerry, John, by creating this, you really provided an opportunity for a lot of these musicians too, yes, to really strut their stuff and step up to that next level. So I think that's pretty fantastic too.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny that people are saying this, because it's like, you know, they're thanking us for creating this festival as an opportunity for them to showcase their work. But it's like, you had it in you this whole time. So we thank you collectively as the artists online and in person.
I just wanted to add in here, Jerry's been a little upset with me. She's a little jealous. I've been spending an awful lot of time with two of these outside with my neighbors listening to the entire festival on replay. And wow, that sound quality. Wow. I put in a 5-star Google review for Arnold's and Seth. I said, no matter what kind of musician you are, what kind of genre you come from, you should feel very, very comfortable coming to this location and performing. What an amazing job that guy did. And that facility provided us with the opportunity to have this festival there, guys. Like, you know, like, that was an amazing experience between the lighting, their support, their background support prior to the event. Like, Jerry was in constant emails with them. And it was just to see it all go on and try to witness it and try to document as much as I could along the way. You know, look forward to future stuff about all of this coming out. We're trying to put together a documentary set up. We're trying to put together, you know, a post-production that's going to be, like, you know, phenomenal with releases along the way that, you know, capture more audience and get people to find their sound pad. The thing that I loved the most about Conrad was when he dropped my name. He wasn't the only one to drop my name. Brendan Daniels dropped my name. You know, and it's like, I'm nobody, man. I drove around a little bit and I helped people. And, like, you guys are really bringing the heat with this. And I'm glad to be a part of it. I really am.
I couldn't help but thinking, too, like, at that place, people don't realize, you know, in the background, Arnold's, oh, yeah, here's the screen share of us chilling in the background. Thanks, Mike.
bringing that in.
I took that. I went out to go take a pee, and I took a picture, and then I sent my girlfriend a message. It looks like we got a hippie infestation out back.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at their website. It's like a family fun center. It's like an arcade. Yeah. And like,
there's all, it's a huge, they have like
bowling,
right?
And stuff. Like, it's bowling, a massive, yeah, like laser tag and all kinds,
yeah,
of
stuff.
Laser, like, tag, mini putt, like go kart, bumper carts. I mean, it's nuts, actually. It's kind of an insane setup. And mostly because it's called Arnold's Fun Center.
We had a camp counselor on hand for any parents that wanted to take advantage of having the concert experience while their kids enjoyed the venue. But, you know, next time, you know, we could market that better. But yeah, like I'm just so grateful because I feel like this was a co-manifest experience between audience members, the organizers, the artists, in a lot of cases, both artists and organizers, like with Derek and Conrad and Theo also. So there's just so many, I just feel like we all wanted this to happen, and that's why it happened. We all had the care in our hearts, which generated the will for it to happen. We did not have an SOP. We were flying by the seat of our pants all fucking weekend. We were fucking putting out fires all fucking weekend, and we fucking did it together. And I'm just so fucking grateful to, like, everyone. And like, you know, and again, the audience too, like, why are we streaming? You know, like, even if people weren't able to come in person, like, we wanted these artists to be showcased that are more underground, that are truly musicians on their own, in their own right. You know, like, I will admit there were some submissions that came across the radar, and I held a high standard. You know, I want people that are truly musicians first and foremost, because this is a music festival. And that's going to generate the professionalism and expertise area in their, you know, music making to get the message out more efficiently versus like someone who's not really well versed in their instruments. And so, like, Devin and Georgia are the perfect example of this. I just sampled some of Devin's work only as a saxophonist in his own right, was immediately impressed. He had told me he was partnered with another musician from the jazz realm, a female double bassist. I was like, oh my God, female double bassist? Like, the fact, and I told Georgia this, and I'll say this just, you know, it's for a woman to not only be able to play a double bass, but then to have the will within her heart to excel in it. That is, yeah, like, that just shows, well, but she wasn't playing double bass, but I'm just saying that will to excel in an instrument that's not designed for you to play well in. I was like, whatever you guys are doing, whatever music projects you guys are doing together is going to be legit. And that's exactly what happened when I heard their music during the interview. I, like, after the interview, I was like, you guys need to be part of this in-person thing. So.
And talk about the message, you know, ultimately, yes, this is all about natural law, truth, freedom. And I couldn't help but thinking, like, all the people that worked there at that fun center or people that might be were off to the side a little bit, maybe they caught a little whiff of it. Maybe they were like, man, that's some pretty good sounding stuff. But I also was having that memory of, you know, I know you, Jerry and John, I know you guys were out like handing out like flyers, like mad wherever you could. But like, yeah, when you guys got there, John comes up and hands me and Leslie like the flyers. And there was, you can't see this in the video, but there was this huge like expo event going on next door. And there was just, you know, throngs of people going to this expo event. So we went out and we just started handing flyers like mad to people. And, you know, I don't know if anyone ever actually came, but, you know, like the opportunity was there for other people to be exposed to the concepts of natural law, freedom, and truth. And the more we do this type of thing, it opens that door possibility for minds to awaken. And that's ultimately what this is all about, is working towards freedom, because we're in this world of slavery and people don't understand the natural laws, the guiding principle of this reality. And so I think the music's a great way to open that door for people that are afraid. And that's probably why there weren't a lot more people there. I think people are afraid of this message because it is kind of scary that we got to make a transition away from this world of authoritarianism, statism, and slavery. And how are we going to do that without engaging our hearts and our care? And that's scary to people. So thanks for being so brave. The level of commitment and talent in that room was palpable. And that was really what I keep repeating over and over. Like, I can't believe that much talent and that much commitment in one room was just, you know, amazing.
I think music is the highest form of rhetoric, actually. And, you know, it's easier to do, you know, a long podcast talking about natural law. It's much harder to distill that in a 3-minute, you know, rap or song. So, and to get that same message across. So I just, I really respect the art and craft of all the musicians that stepped forward for this.
Round of applause for all those natural laws and the effects and the cause, you know?
Holy shit. Oh, yeah. That was the one thing I forgot about. You nailed it with the rhymes. It was fucking awesome. It was, like, so funny. And, like, you just kept going. And then at first I was like, okay, this is getting a little tired. And then you just keep doing it. Right? And it's like, all right, I'm back into loving it. And it's like, that's just beautiful. And I love that. And it's like, it's just, you got to just, like, it's commitment, man. It's exactly what everybody was just saying. It's like, it's. I mean, to a certain degree, it's sticking to the bit, but to another degree, it's like I don't know. It's like, this is what I'm doing. Like, be cool with it or don't. And I think, like, I don't know. Like, I sent my beautiful girlfriend, like, my I was like, hey, look at this recording quality while we're doing Brendan Daniels, like, leading into Tatiana and Brendan and whatever, and she's like, she's not a normie, but she's like much more like standard real world type. She like person, and so, and then it's like the first thing, of course, like right after I sent it to her, it's like the moon landing is fake, and it's like, okay, all right, well, I don't even necessarily believe that, but that's not the point. Just look at the recording quality and look at the video quality. And I think that, like, your point of it's like the heart is there, that is the most important part. And I think that pretty much everybody there, including Brendan, like, we don't have to agree on everything and are happy to talk about basically everything. And I think that's partially what makes it so fun. And I don't know. I got no bad vibes from pretty much anybody. Like, I don't think anybody at all the entire weekend. And that's kind of rare when you meet that many people, just base rate wise. I don't know. That's all.
Yes. Nobody. And that's never happened to me before. Like, nobody. I second that.
Like, everybody's good on a different realm or whatever. Like, yeah. Like, from their own perspective. But that's, I think, kind of part of it, right? We all know that we all are coming from different perspectives, and we are okay with that. It's really important, I think. I don't know.
Kind of that reminds me of something that I thought was extra cool about this event was having Derek Brose there and then Grant Ellman presence there. And, you know, recognizing that they have become close as friends. And so they hung out together. They were there. And what I appreciated from Derek is not only did he show up as a musician, but he did a presentation. And this presentation was about the unification of the natural law with his exit and build strategy. So he was actively dissolving a divide here. And I think making, you know, an effort to come to into the natural law community and say, you know what, we need to work together because we need both of these things to have the best outcome. You know, not only the exit and build, but with that, the spiritual and moral direction that natural law provides. So to me, that was very symbolic. And he's been, you know, very welcoming of inviting our community to his People's Reset in Morelia, Mexico in January. So I think any of us that can support his event, I think that would be a beautiful gesture. And recognize that we all are here now collaborating. We've just woven together, you know, two powerful communities that together, you know, strengthen this effort for truth and freedom. So I was stoked about that.
Yeah, and sounds like we want to have Derek Brose on Dissolving the Divide, huh, Leslie? And please, if people reference him, you know, obviously we share the same name, it's spelled differently, but 33 is also his, you know, artist handle and all that. But yeah, you brought up a good point that we brought up literally like today and yesterday, is that there's other events going on and we want to, you know, not plug in our stuff, but, you know, it's just that cross-pollination and the collaboration. It's, you know, beyond just a positive sensation, because, you know, you can feel beyond the vibrations or whatever. I'm sorry, it's like a thought pattern that's just been embedded since, you know, as far as I can remember. Oh, and by the way, this is sponsored by Ostera. You get your hydrogen, HydroSpark, Sparky. But no, like, we plug in ads. It's to, like, you know, we're trying to hold each other large, as Mario West likes to say, you know. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? But, you know, it's that's pretty much all I have to say. I'm not used to having my screen blown up. It's kind of funny looking at myself. Thanks. Yeah, Chris.
But no, I'll cut you out and put you on the main screen.
We're not profiting, you know, financially from these things. You know, like, we didn't plug in all these ads and gain, you know, monetary gains from them. You know, it's, you know, it's the friendship, it's, you know, again, like, collaboration, and it's for, you know, people's positive health benefits and whatever, right? And for that knowledge and whatever, you know, we showed your podcast and stuff like that, Chris. Obviously you have a book out and this and that, but I'll pass the mic to, yeah, like, Devin, Georgia Apophysis was cracking, haven't heard from you in a—
Well, before you do that, this is sponsored by the End Evil Podcast. Just
letting
you guys know.
Oh, yeah. We should shout out Will Keller. He did the, you know, producing to make sure that the event was going on the One Great Work Network. And he's always a cool guy in the background helping out and doing things, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, Apophysis, you guys rocked, too. You're honestly one of my favorite acts that was on, and when I found out, oh, something was messed up with the sound at the beginning, and then, oh, this is awesome, we get to see Apophysis again. I was like, yeah. I was super stoked, you know. And from my end, like, this, both sets sounded good, you know. I've got my high fidelity headphones on, and yeah, and actually for part of it, I had the whole family was jumping around and dancing and stuff, so I had it on the Bose, the, you know, sound bar living room for a little while.
Awesome.
They are partially to blame for me losing my voice almost during my set. I almost didn't do the whole set because I lost my voice in the middle of it. That's because I was singing Down with the Empire and a couple of other ones. I learned the lyrics. You guys had the lyrics printed out. Yo, if you would have seen Mark, Mark was studying that like he's about to do a presentation. I don't know if you guys saw it. And a lot of us were. So, yeah, you guys almost messed me up on that one.
Yeah, I was glad we thought about printing the lyrics out. You know, you never know what a sound. The sound ended up being really great in the room, you know, for sure, at Arnold's. Shout out to the sound guy. But Seth, is that what his name is? Yeah, but you never know what the situation's going to be at a live show, and it was really important to us that the lyrics could be heard, you know, because sometimes it's hard to get the mic loud enough in the PA with the vocal mic, and then feel like we can play as loud as we need to really get the energy going. But that didn't end up being a problem anyway, but we had the lyrics printed out just in case, like, it would be hard to hear. But I'm glad we did it because, you know, even with good sound, lyrics can go missing, kind of, or it can be hard to pick up on everything. So, yeah, I saw Mark studying the lyrics we print out. I saw a lot of people. We were happy when we said, you know, anyone who wants the lyrics, like, we put them on the table there. We were happy that a lot of people picked them up and were looking at them. So it was just such a fun few days. Just can't wait till more, you know, honestly, like more hangs. Wish we could have been there even earlier on the night before, but, you know, live and learn, you know, but on Friday, we wish we could have come in on that day, but it was just, it was just a really great time.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, you didn't miss much. It was like frantic as all hell Friday, just trying to figure it out for the first time. And then we started at 6 a.m. on Saturday, and I was so dead. Like, Jerry and I were, like, bonding, basically sleeping in separate parts of the couches at, like, 11 a.m. on Saturday, trying to, like, barely wrap our brains around whatever. I need my ears to rest. I had, like, it was a whole fucking thing. So, honestly, you probably didn't join at the worst time.
Who just said that they're so happy Apophysis isn't dead? Because
I didn't. Oh, somebody said
yes, they are. People probably don't know the behind the scenes story on that. Where,
of them missing.
We had a little after party, and everybody went after the show, and Devin and Georgia went missing for a while, and Derry got really upset. Like, I'm really worried about him. It's been too long, and we were all stressed. And after a while, you know, like, start to look out the window, like, where are they? We knew they were coming because we all left about the same time. But
oh my god!
Yeah, turned out they got lost.
We were about to get in the car to look for
them. I was gonna send out search parties that were like trained in CPR and shit. You know, like.
And the minute you walked in, she's like, thank God they're not dead. They're alive.
It's true. I mean, I was starting to think that, like, because my phone was dead too. So I was like, I should let Jerry know and everyone know. But I figured,
lost in Amish land. Start to
worry after a certain point because we left the parking lot at the same time almost.
Yeah.
And we were an hour and a half later and then we arrived an hour and a half late because we just got so lost. There's so many, so many turns.
And I hadn't figured out how to use Google Maps. Like, this is, now I know for sure how to use it because I couldn't get the woman to talk to me. She was just silent. She would say the first thing, like, put on your car and drive to the left. And then she was just silent on the highway. I was like, what the fuck? Like, where am I going? And we're trying to read the car, the map. And it was just like so stressful. But then it was like, I had it plugged in like to charge it. And then she didn't talk to me. So now I know I can't charge it while.
That seems like driving. A glitch though. Does anyone else have that experience?
No, I think she was just waiting for the next turn.
She's giving you the silent treatment.
Listen, I was just worried that you guys might have got caught up in tyranny. You know what I'm saying? And this
that week too.
Tyranny. Yeah, yeah.
Because, tyranny? Well, yeah,
there
were
a couple incidences. I'm not
I had my little experience where follow me on Facebook. They'd see that little picture. But on my way to pick up Derek Burrows and Grant Presence, I got pulled over by the order followers. And the strange thing about it was, it wasn't just one. It was like one SUV cop pulled up behind me, and then another one. And I'm like, what?
Oh, what a surprise.
How the hell do they know?
To do in that area.
No, I'm a freedom guy. But it turned out it was just because I didn't use my blinker. And I wanted to say, we don't really use
blinkers. I think like right around that same time, somebody else was dodging three Amish, like, fucking horse and buggies in the middle of the night. Like, like, right? Like, somebody said that? Come on, I'm not making this up. You guys
Heard man,
that.
Somebody on else the way this. There, I was, you know.
Yeah, okay. Really. Thank you. Please, call me up. Yeah, and they have, like, reflectors, fortunately, now. But, like, yeah, you're just driving through, like, cornfields in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden it's just, like, a horse and buggies in front of you. Yeah, that's actually really dangerous. So, like, I'm glad they have reflectors now.
Well, when Chris and I left at 2 a.m. because we had to get to the airport for a 5 o'clock flight, and we our Google Maps took us down weird back roads. Like, we missed a turn. We ended up going down a dirt road, and we're like, wait.
You have to be tired.
I took that one. I know,
like,
in that kind of area, you have to be like hyper vigilant.
So not
because if you miss a little bit, now there's one turn, and then like in a half a mile, there might be like a dirt U-turn if you're lucky. Which means, and the alternative is doing a U-turn in some rural person's driveway, which rural people are not the people's driveways you'd like to do that in. They're like, "What you doing, son?" Like, it's like you don't like. I don't know. At least that's my brain where that goes.
Everybody in rural Pennsylvania is armed. I guarantee it.
And good for them for that.
I just wanted to go backwards a little bit. Not to mention, like, when we arrived on Friday, we were like, there was no early entry to the Airbnb. It was 4 o'clock on the dot. We're turning keys,
And Conrad's in the door. Conrad's
already there. I'm like, yeah, he already picked his room and everything. I love
the shower running already.
But it was nice to have someone to welcome us at the door. And but to go ahead and walk through that door with all the equipment, with all the intentions, and like you got to put your luggage here, you got to figure out who's, you know, and then stacking stuff in refrigerators and all this stuff that's going on. And boom,
and me and Jerry's brain is like, we have 4 hours till live, and I don't even have like OBS. Like, I don't even have a scene in OBS at this point. Like, nothing has started in regards to how to make that work. And we did.
Mike's ability to just pick up the pace and like drop that bomb, man. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, make sure you leave them a good review on Airbnb, because we definitely transformed a little bit of that house in terms of moving tables and shit.
Yeah, we moved the furniture around. There was Amish people that showed up. That, well, they said they were Amish people. They came to fix the hot tub, that, which they didn't do. I said that they were definitely fed. I said they were probably feds planting microphones dressed like Amish people.
All right.
No, they had the little hat and everything. Like, they were actually like super nice. And then he shows up, and this is the part. Finish it up. What happened 20 minutes after he left?
He gave us baked goods.
Well, somehow the hot tub started working, because I know Leslie and
Conrad fixed it.
Oh, Conrad. No.
Good shit.
It really wasn't me. It's the Amish guy. He just connected it on an extension cord. He's like, I can give you an extension cord. I'm like, I'll talk about
starting it off. Oh, yeah, you said you're the home. You're supposed to be the home reno guy, and you start trying to fix the.
You cannot touch anything. No, we're streaming right now. But he put it on an extension cord, then we played with the buttons, and I think like the next day you come in there and it's bubbling. So, here we go.
Well, so that's a good symbol for what the subject I want to change into for the last few minutes here before we close up is going forward. Where do we go from here? You know, ideas, encouragement for people listening, and help promotion. Like, why didn't we have more people there? It wasn't because Jerry and St. John didn't do their job. They certainly did. It wasn't because the performance didn't do their job. But what's lacking? What do we need in the future to get this message to more people? To get, there should have been hundreds of people there. So I'll pose that question and then allow everybody to answer, and then we'll kind of close up the podcast for tonight. And I'll see you guys after that. Maybe we'll talk a little more next week.
I just want to say, I don't think it's about giving them the message. It's about getting them to recognize how the message is important. You know, like, they handed out thousands of flyers.
If I may make an addendum to that, perhaps, because that's kind of like, I didn't even want to like actually really answer it so much as kind of couch it in. We had this conversation. I think maybe you and I had this conversation, Leslie, and I definitely know like John and Jerry. Like, it reminds me of like, there's these like certain degrees you can get in colleges, and there's nothing to do with that degree other than become a professor of that degree and teach other people about this thing. And the only thing they can do with it is fucking go teach that thing again. And I don't think that's actually useful. And I think that there's like a pragmatic use, and exactly to what you called out, Leslie, I think of what Derek brought to the table, or maybe it was somebody else, but I think it was you, like in terms of the bringing the action aspect into it, and not just making it talking about and telling people to talk about. I like, that's great, but I don't think that's like, I'm not saying anything's the solution, but like, I think that's like important to like keep in mind. And so that said, if you wouldn't mind maybe restating your question, Chris, with that context, I think it like kind of all maybe we'll come to a better conversation in my
mind. I mean, I guess the question is, what can we do to change the world, you know, building from here? How can we accelerate this project of teaching natural law and bringing freedom into future generations from here?
We just gotta keep doing it, because to get a large amount of people doing something, they have to know that it's something that has happened, it's worked out already, it's established. This was our first time. Now people are going to know that there was that quality. It's just like Mark with his first podcast. He didn't have that many people his first podcast. Now people know. It's not just something that's happening in the back of the woods somewhere. This is somewhere where we're bringing top quality stuff under tough circumstances. So we're going to do, you know, whatever we choose to do, whatever you guys, not just we, you know, the SoundPath team chooses to do, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel on this one. It's like now people know this is going to be something and they want to be part of it. They're going to want to be part of it, and we're just going to show that over time.
Well, I think a big takeaway for me is just seeing the power of collective action. When you have a common foundation, as mentioned in Conrad's song, Foundations, when you have a common foundation of natural law and objective morality, you know, we can co-create, manifest, and show people what a truly, you know, sort of moral or self-organizing experience looks like, what the art and culture of that new world would look like, the true new world, the moral new world, the free new world. And so just showing people that, exemplifying that, leading by example as artists, as organizers, as audience members attending these types of events. Specifically in terms of the future of SoundPath, as John mentioned, we're going to be doing a documentary. In addition, we want to focus on promoting the festivals and the art of the artists that were featured for the coming year. So we have Derek Rose's People Reset happening in February. We have Funnel. We have Chris Callahan, who is... amazingly inspired and is exactly what I wanted to see. I wanted to see other people running their festivals. And so he's doing the Midwest Freedom Festival in Missouri in April. So these are three events that SoundPath needs to get behind to promote, because it's not just about promoting for SoundPath. We're promoting natural law. We're doing it in all these different ways collectively. You know, I think, coming into the Truth and Freedom, you know, natural law community, I was noticing there was a lot of like people doing their own thing, or like small groups of people doing their own thing. And like, I was thinking about how can we collectively, we're going to be more powerful if we combine our resources, and if we find a way to sort of execute like a military, like they do this, they organize, we need to do this too. And just like really focusing on how we can like just strategize and just funnel our energies into a way that is more powerful. And so I think, you know, SoundPath is going to support these other things, because we're all doing natural law, whatever the flag of the day is.
Yeah, Jerry, I think you're correct. I think that it is about the it's about doing it, and then the energy that's generated from it, and the way that our teamwork is exemplifying, you know, the harmonious, like, good time, people are going to be drawn to it, you know, and they're going to hear some catchy music, I think, and then they're going to...
Who doesn't want to have fun?
Yeah, and have fun. They're going to see that not only is this fun, but the people are good and generally appear happy. You know, I don't know. There's something about... that coming together and the joy of being a part of something good, and the synergy of people and their energy, right? It's very meaningful. It's very powerful. And I think that people are lonely and they want more connection.
Thanks, Leslie, for saying that. I wanted to say also thank you to everybody in the chat. You know, when people get in the chat and make comments, I really appreciate that. So, you know, Theo and Sarah Cross, Carrie B, awesome person I got to meet there. You know, much love to all you guys in the chat. And, you know, Fringe Minority Report, all these people that are making good comments, Affirm Life Daily, that's Cynthia. You know, we have a community forming, and that camaraderie, as it builds, I think what you're saying is true, Leslie. Other people are going to be like, man, I want to be part of some people like that. You know, like, it's palpable, the level of love. And like you said, Jerry, we're a family at this point, because I knew I loved you guys before I even got there. But when we actually saw each other, it's like, damn, yeah, these are my peeps right here, you know? And so I hope other people out there catch that vibe and run with it. You know, you can do it too. We all just started this by sticking our neck out and being brave and making our own little show, and only one person was watching or whatever. And learning as we went, making mistakes and jumping in the fire. And then that's how you pass it on to the next person. So, you know, that's my last bit I'll say. And anyone else want to make any closing statements, feel free.
Yeah, sure. I'll just piggyback off that because, I mean, we've said it many times, right? You know, the last Freedom Under Natural Law conference sparked a lot of inspiration and motivation behind this festival, you know, like first and foremost, you know, and those are the words of Jerry. But yeah, going back to how do we get that mass appeal to make this festival more, I guess, successful or just like have more ears to this. And of course, you know, it's like, you know, playing these, you know, this type of music, it's more or less the people that are going to tune into it are the people that already know what's up more or less with, you know, natural law to a degree and this and that. But it's like, how do we get the attention of those that really ain't heard about these things yet? You know, everyone loves music, right? Can't deny that. So what's going on, right? Do we need to get, you know, KRS-One up in the house like we tried to initially? And that was great. It's like we're thinking big, right? And even if, you know, we're starting off small, it's just like taking the risk in, you know, actually, you know, executing it to whatever, you know, resources and people we have on board, regardless of anything. And we had so many people on board. I'm like overwhelmed with gratitude. And I'll leave it with that. But much respects and love to Meg, Matt, Chris, Theo, Sarah Cross, who also helped quite a bit with organizing, promoting, and all that stuff, who aren't here. And yeah, I'm thinking also, like, we can do something innovative with next time with, you know, ticket sales of they're not just buying a ticket, but, you know, we could add little extras on the side, you know, maybe, you know, things like, and we already have that for the audience. You know, we had the Ostara, you know, 10% off type of stuff with, you know, codes and that kind of stuff. And maybe, you know, like we're doing with our, and that's something that, you know, John and Jerry, you guys can mention after I, you know, end this real quick. But yeah, $25 donation will get you access to a lot of material and stuff that we're going to put out later on. So we're still trying to formulate that, but we're also keeping in ideas for, you know, next time around to make this more innovative and maybe more even like interactive and stuff. So, you know, this is like, it's not a spectator sport up in this piece. You know, we want other people to get involved in other ways, not just, you know, like, okay, this is not just another event in a sense, you know, this is like to really activate and get that ignition, like the title of the next funnel conference. But yeah, that's all. Oh, thanks, Chris.
And on top of that, a bonus solution that I'm going to implement starting like now is I'm going to go to other in-person music festivals and hit people that way. Through that in-person like musical connection, I'm going to be a Riot Fest in 2 weeks. All right, I'm going to give it a shot. So, you know, these places, and this is what Presence told me as I was taking them to the airport. You got to see like what events are actually happening around you. And that is on top of what else I'm doing. I'm going to try to do that.
Wait, so Conrad, are you familiar with Zach Deputy? Have you ever heard of him?
What did you say?
Zach Deputy. Are you familiar with that artist at all? Is anybody familiar with Zach Deputy? If no. Anybody's not, I'll just jump into it. It's fine. So this dude would just go to music festivals and bring his own U-Haul. And then just like set up his like drum kit and like have his guitar and just riff and loop it and do beats or whatever, and kept doing it. And like, I want to say within 5 years, he's like being asked to be on the stage because it's just awesome. He's just jamming out on top of his fucking U-Haul while everybody's camping and like smoking and doing whatever the hell they do in music festival camps. And like, that's great. Like, and there's like that kind of like, just you want to do it. And just really quickly, Beautiful, I think she was fantastic. She kicked ass, and I like, yes, going back through it and scanning stuff. I'm like, goddamn, she is really talented. I don't even know what she's saying, but it seems really. And I'm trying to translate that, and hopefully, we'll put out something with proper
Lady Maverick
subtitles.
Yeah, soon. I wanted to also mention ass. Lady Maverick just blew me away. Her voice just cut into my soul. Mm. And on what Mike's saying, Brendan Daniels' story is he felt like nobody really knew about him. He showed up at Porkfest and just sat down in a field somewhere and started playing his songs. And people were like, whoa, listen to this guy. And someone's like, hey, I want to record you. And that's when he recorded his album, which I just downloaded. And you can get on, you know, you can find yourself, Brandon Daniel, just fantastic musician. Hopefully I can get him on here someday too, because he was just not just a fantastic musician, but an amazing human being that I really enjoyed meeting. So, and Lady Maverick blew me away too. So, yeah.
I want to quickly jump in and first acknowledge Derek for thanking everyone. I want to quickly also thank Kevin Kelso, Revolution Radio host, who impromptu became our ticketing doorman. Lou Dory also helped with that. I want to acknowledge everyone that was working the chats and online. Meg and Matt, Chris
Will Keller.
Will Keller, who
helped and Lisa.
Lisa was there in person cooking oatmeal for everyone so that all the artists and organizers could eat real quick. You know, like little things like that. Like Nathan Webb, who's here, fucking like did my oil change because I was like, we're not going to be able to like drive to
the. And Nathan helped out so goddamn much.
So with how many miles I put on in without the oil change, like I was like, so anyway, my point that I'm saying is, okay, so any soundpath.org online or in-person artist that wants to join another festival and needs help with travel funds to go to Confluence, to go to the People's Reset, please let me know, freedom@soundpath.org, and so that we can work something out to get you there. To get you to the Midwest Freedom Festival, to get you to People's Reset in Mexico. So, because we want natural law repping at these festivals, not just for SoundPath. You don't even need to fucking mention SoundPath. We'll do it for you for just like the kindness of care. Like, that's literally like why we're fucking doing this, you know? So, keep going, guys.
John's in the back, like, oh, hold on there, Jerry. Take it. No, I'm joking.
I'm actually really cool, man. I just, you know, like just to see it all catch fire and like there's a word that keeps going around about cross pollination, you know, like and this was like a huge thing. Like I saw it back in the first funnel, you know, conference that some of the people that are involved with this movement have put out and with the music aspect, you know, with like the Funky Fathers and the other stuff that was going on, man. I felt like I was a part of something even as an audience member. And it's nice to just give back in this kind of way where you feel like you're extending your family and your friend groups internationally, multi-language, international, natural law representations. And I'm really grateful to Jerry because, you know, like she has a lot of fire in her heart and soul, man. And, you know, it's I never thought I could actually be around somebody that could help me stay this deep in the mission and feel so good about doing it while shaking everyone's hand. And I have always wanted to meet at the same time and give it a hugs, you know? So I'm very grateful to her and I'm very grateful to everyone that stepped up and did something involved with this. Thank you guys.
I also want to thank Theo Lux, who was not only soundpath.org webmaster, but also one of our featured artists.
Chris Callahan.
I already said Chris, I just feel like I'm constantly forgetting people. Sarah Cross, who we can now reveal was our chat moderator. she also was one of the first people to take it upon herself to locally promote in her area. There's nothing stopping anyone from printing one of the flyers and just putting it around your area. Like it's an online festival everywhere. So, and I want to briefly also touch upon the fact that Beatriz, one, I met her through howtobecomethetruemedia.com. This is a talent pool for the natural law community. We need to have eyes and ears every year in those classes because that's where the next musicians are going to be coming from. That's where the next festival organizers are going to be coming from. That's where the next presenters and podcasters are going to be coming from. So, you know, and they need mentorship and they need, you know, to see people who have been doing it
and support their work.
And support their work. Yeah.
It's
and
then, always the people behind the people, guys.
And we want this festival to be multilingual next year. So if you speak another language, we want you in. You know, it's a shame we only had Beatriz this year. We should have had you know, people in French, Italian, Filipino, Tagalog,
Japanese.
Korean, fucking Chinese, fucking, you know, Swahili, like just whatever. So if you speak any of those languages and know about natural law, I may or may not lower my musician bar a bit for that. But generally, you know, I really do want to feature actual musicians. I'm a musician myself. I hold myself to a high standard when it comes to music, and I hold others to that. These are true musicians that we had in our festival.
Well, I hope we get to hear some Jerry's music next time around. So we need some more organizers to help organizing so we could hear some of your tunes.
Are you trying to wrap up on playing Hit the Note?
We got a new game show.
Sorry, I keep talking. Other people need to talk.
I do think we need an anti version of this where we all just talk shit on each other and how bad we did. It'd be so much funnier.
How about some last words from Nathan Webb, a great organizer, helper, and you've been pretty quiet. But you were there the whole time, and you did a lot of work on this. So why don't you close us out with some little closing statements, Nathan?
Cool, man. So you asked a good question a few minutes ago, Chris, which is how can we, like, help these messages be more understood and, like, reach the wider world? And how can these things be brought to people's consciousness? And I think that we need to talk about, like, what we have now, we have all these corrupted forms of institutions in the world, the movie industry, totally corrupted, music industry, corrupted, satanic. So, like, we have these, like, corrupted, impure, immoral forms of things. So I think we need to be talking about, like, what the moral, pure, good, caring, truthful forms are, and how we can all come together and, you know, build those together. And I think people will want to gravitate towards that. Like, they'll want to make a record label, you know, that's for conscious, truthful, good music, etc., stuff like that. And, like, you know, we need, like, the cinematic pure form version instead of like Hollywood's evil, you know, sorcery where they mind control, you know, use mind control techniques. So and I agree so much with what Leslie said. That we need to help people understand why the messages are important, why they're important, why they matter, why people need to be looking into this. And making it accessible, bite-sized, easy to understand, very common sense, stuff like that. And I don't want to take too much time with this, but... I'm kind of losing my train of thought now, but this year's Sound Path was amazing, and thank you to all the artists, all the musicians, everyone I got a chance to meet, and producer Mike, you're amazing. You just did just magic the entire time, and I think this could just go in just beautiful directions, and I know it's going to, and I know more people will see the value of this. And they will want to contribute their own work, and they will want to put together their own gatherings, you know, and we need more in-person, heart-to-heart gatherings, and projects, in-person projects with, the moral, pure, forms and, you know, moral integrities and all of that. So, I guess I'll close it with that, but thanks. Thank you again to everyone. And it was just so magical. And I know this is going in a good direction. So, yeah, let's keep the momentum flowing. And thank you to everyone.
Right on. Thanks so much, Nathan, for saying the last words there. And I really appreciate everybody that showed up tonight to make this show a really awesome show, and all the viewers. And we'll be back next week with the And Evil podcast. Remember, evil is the destruction of freedom. If you haven't yet signed up for Mark Passio's seminar on the shadow work, you should get on whatonearthishappening.com and sign up for that. And spread the news, folks. Evil's the destruction of freedom. Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
So natural law is a set of universal, inherent, objective, non-man-made, eternal, and immutable. reasonable conditions which govern the consequences of behavior of beings with the capacity for understanding the difference between harmful and non-harmful behavior. Funnel 5, a free 2-day online conference.
Ignite hearts and minds.
The event that will spark truth, love, and freedom.
February 21st and 22nd, 2026.
For more information, visit freedomundernaturallaw.com.